You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
A reading from the Gospel of according to Mark. Jesus went out again beside the sea, and the whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Let us pray. Lord, there is welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with you, and there is healing in your blood. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I wonder if you have a wedding coming up in your family or among friends. Anybody getting married in here? Okay, anybody's child getting married maybe this summer? Well, anyway, have you ever been to a wedding? All right, good. Praise the Lord. They're fun. Unless something like this happens. My brother-in-law and his wife Jenny were married in Mijas, which is in Spain. It's near where her parents grew up. And RB had really, he'd survived almost Tuscaloosa and had gone to the West Coast and had met his bride there in California, bride-to-be, and was introduced to this wonderful family and their wonderful history from that part of Spain. And so they were destined to be married there, and he was so excited, especially putting the list of all the songs not to play at the reception for the DJ from Moscow. And he distinctly said, "Do not play these songs like Sweet Home Alabama," things like that. I mean, just a real clear list of all the things not to play. And we get to the wedding and get to the reception, and guess what? They started the reception with Sweet Home Alabama. It was all the songs that he had said, "Let's not play these." That's all that they played the whole time. Chrissy, when we were married at St. James Fairhope back in 2002, I got word that the photographer wanted me to come back into the room and come back into the church at the transept and meet him for one more photograph. And I walk in, and there she is. There's my bride standing right there, right in the transept, defying all expectations, all the rules, breaking every customary that was, you know, that we had lived by all our lives, which was like, you don't see the bride before the wedding, all that. And she just said, I just want to be with you in this moment before everything gets crazy with all of our guests and all. And it was the sweetest moment. The other day, I did this wedding, a couple weeks ago, actually. The bride, right after I had declared that they were married people, you know, and we begun the colics, right before I took my stole off to wrap their arms together to tie the knot, I learned that not in seminary or from any rector, but from watching Braveheart. It was the first wife, right? Remember in the woods? Right there, as I'm wrapping their hands, and we have this wonderful moment with the music, she just suddenly grabs hold of my hand. She won't let me wrap their hands, and she says, "What is this? What happened? What just happened?" And the groom is just teary, and It was so beautiful. And I said, that is the ontological shift. The two have become one. This, she's like, yes, that is what's happened to me. The two have become one. I bring these little vignettes up because there are moments like these that I've witnessed in my own life and in others' lives. And you've got your moments like this, especially from your wedding day or from events leading up to marriage, to all of this part of your story that are so important, these threshold moments, these very important moments that look like something to somebody else. They might have even missed them, even those closest to you, like a parent or your brother-in-law who is a groomsman, all the things. But there are these threshold moments that are so unbelievably meaningful that are so essential to your story. And you return to these when life is hard. Maybe when the marriage is in the ditch. When there's suffering, when there's sickness, when there's some measure of sorrow that is breaking your heart. You go back to those moments. Maybe it has nothing to do with the wedding. And the embarrassing thing that might have happened on the dance floor, you know, with the wrong playlist. But there are those moments that you would call the hot and the heavy, for lack of a better word, that are so important to you and your bride or your husband. There's one, you probably know this theologian as well as you know the Apostle Paul. It's from 1979. The Escape, Rupert Holmes. He writes, "But me and my old lady had fallen into the same old dull routine. So I wrote to the paper. I took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad. Yes, I like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain. I'm not much into health food. I am into champagne. I've got to meet you by tomorrow noon and cut through all this red tape at a bar called O'Malley's, where we'll plan our escape." This is also the moment when you realize that you're at a threshold of moving back toward the originating power of your relationship. When you return to these moments, you move to a place where you have the potential to shift things from reverse, at least into neutral, and maybe into drive. I'm sure you've heard that thought before. These moments can actually lead to the whole death and resurrection of the marriage. Or of the relationship. This is true about your children. You remember holding your baby girl when she was first born. You remember when your son learned to walk or ride a bike. You remember when they were on that ride with you and they sang along with you to the Rolling Stones or Jason Isbell or Taylor Swift, whatever it is. And that, it didn't matter how much trouble they were in. They're your kid. They're your beloved of your heart. When it isn't easy, when your heart's breaking, especially with a child, and you return to those moments, it just kind of lightens the load. It renews, it reignites your calling as their parents. Today, this fourth Sunday, this first Friday in the first week of Lent is an opportunity like that. God is exactly where you last saw him. God is where you last spoke to him, where you left him in the dark. You get to turn back to that place in the season of Lent, to go back to where you fell down from your high horse or from some great height of your commitments and your morality, your expectations of others, yourself, your minister, your mother, your father, your son, yourself, I repeat, yourself. It's on this day where you get to remember who you are, called of God as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Christ isn't your hobby. You wouldn't be here if that was the matter. You wouldn't be here at noon on a Friday, a perfectly good Friday with a bluebird sky like you've got outside, if Christ was your hobby, if he was your part-time project. You wouldn't be here. If he was a good theme for your next book, you wouldn't be here. He's not that to you. He's not your last resort. When that running group I mentioned yesterday, they run too fast. That one that you checked out to see if that was better than that last Bible study that you're a part of, well, they run too slow. They run too fast. They're like everything else. No, Jesus isn't our disappointed coach. He's not an embarrassed parent. And he's not a boss that will shame you at the next review. Jesus is our life. He's the most real fact about you and me. And your experiences, like I said yesterday, in this life are so important. They really are. But they are not as consequential or as determinative of a factor in your life as our Savior Christ's commitment to you. And so today, the invitation really is to return to him, return to that place where you first met him and began to follow him, where you heard the gospel, where you were united with everyone else who was starting to pay attention to how important it was to remember who we are. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with them? Why does he eat with these people?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have absolutely no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." So return to him. Put all your trust and all of your hope in him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who did stretch out thine arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of thy saving embrace, so clothe us in thy spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know thee to the knowledge and love of thee for the honor of thy name. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.